Hello, thank you for tuning in to the new podcast series known as American History. Today we're going to be talking about Prohibition, which is not as known as other American history by most people. There are some people that know a lot about it, and I'm one of those people, which is why I'm making this podcast, so people can know what Prohibition was. But basically, Prohibition was a way to ban alcohol. That's what Prohibition means by itself. It's a total ban and sale on alcohol. And in the 1820s and 1830s, religious revivalism became big in the United States. And it led to the increased calls for temperance. These were ran by women who were part of the abolitionist movement as well. Basically, they tried to do a total ban on alcohol. They didn't want men drink. They didn't want their husbands drinking alcohol. They wanted alcohol completely unused again, because they thought that the alcohol was causing violence at home, casualties in the workplace, since, you know, alcohol makes you loopy. But yeah, they basically wanted to get rid of alcohol and as fast as they could, because they know that men wouldn't support it. Except in some other states where, for example, in Massachusetts in 1838, it passed the temperance law banning the sale on spirits in less than 15-gallon quantities. However, it was repealed 2 years later for obvious reasons. But it set a precedent for such a legislation. Maine passed the first state prohibition laws in 1846, followed by a stricter law in 1851. And multiple states had followed Maine and their cause after the Civil War began. And by the time it became just in the early 1900s, a new wave of attacks began on the sale of liquor, led by the Anti-Saloon League. It was established in 1893, and was driven by a reaction to urban growth, as well as the rise of evangelical Protestantism. And the view of saloon culture as corrupt and ungodly. In addition, many factory owners supported prohibition in their desire to prevent accidents and increase the efficiency in the era of their workers in the era of increased industrial production and extended work hours. However, there were a lot of things that tried to stop this per se. People wanted to keep drinking. But in 1917, after the United States had entered World War I, President Woodrow Wilson instituted a temporary wartime prohibition in order to save grain for producing food. And that same year, Congress submitted the 18th Amendment, which banned the manufacture, transportation, sale of intoxicating liquors for state ratification. Though Congress had stipulated a 7-year time limit for the process, the amendment received the support of necessary 3/4 of the U.S. state in just 11 in the United States in 11 months. So, yeah, imagine most of the states saying no more alcohol. It was ratified on January 16th, 1919. The 18th Amendment went into effect a year later, by which time no fewer than 33 states had already enacted their own prohibition legislation. And in October 1919, Congress put forth the National Prohibition Act, which provided guidelines for the federal enforcement of prohibition, championed by Representative Andrew Volstead of Minnesota, the chairman of the House of Judiciary of the Judiciary Committee, the legislation was no more than a commonly known as the Volstead Act. And in the enforcement of prohibition, we have the rise of Mr. Famous, all the famous mafia and gang wars. Enforcement of prohibition. Both federal and local governments struggled to enforce prohibition over the course of the 1920s. Enforcement was initially assigned to the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, and was later transferred to the Justice Department and the Bureau of Prohibition, or the Prohibition Bureau. In general, prohibition was enforced much more strongly in areas where the population was sympathetic to the legislation, mainly rural areas and small towns, and much more loosely in urban areas. Despite the very early signs of success, including a decline in arrests for drunkenness and a reported 30% drop in alcohol consumption, those who wanted to keep drinking found even more inventive ways to do it, including bootlegging and moonshining. And I'm going to be explaining what bootlegging is right now. The illegal manufacturing and sale of liquor went through the decade, along with the operation of speakeasies, which are stores or nightclubs selling alcohol. The smuggling of alcohol across the state lines and the informational production of liquor, moonshining, or this part's gross, bathtub gin, which is very gross. They basically made gin inside of their bathtubs. In addition, the Prohibition era encouraged a rise of criminal activity associated with bootlegging. The most notorious example was in Chicago and the gangster, you know him, you love him, Al Capone, who earned a staggering $60 million annually from bootleg operations. And in today's money, that's actually a crap ton. That's based on the inflation of today. In 2021, that would be exactly $908 million. And he earned that annually. So, yeah. Illegal operations fueled a corresponding rise in gang violence, including the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago. Basically, what happened is that Irish gangsters were lured into a garage, and men dressed up as police, and some people even think that these were Al Capone's men, shot and killed the Irish mobsters. Here we have prohibition coming to an end. After all of this, everyone thought that it was bad. Everyone thought that it should just be gone. People thought that the violence was just too major, and people thought that it should just get rid of it. Because it was causing more violence than it wanted to solve it. So, the high price of bootleg liquor meant that the nation's working class and poor were far more restricted during Prohibition than the middle or upper class Americans, even as costs for law enforcement. Jails and prisons spiraled upward. Support for Prohibition was waning against the end of the 1920s. In addition, fundamentalist and nativist forces had gained more control over the temperance unit, alienating its more than moderate members. With the country mired in the Great Depression, which was solved, as you know, by 1932, creating jobs and revenue by legalizing the liquor industry had an undeniable appeal. Democrat FDR, Franklin D. Roosevelt, ran for president that year on a platform calling for prohibition's repeal. And fun fact, when he got elected FDR, as soon as he got into office, he immediately wrote the Beer Permit Act, which allowed the consumption and sale of beer as the Volstead Act was being removed. FDR's victory meant the end for prohibition. And in February 1933, Congress adopted a resolution proposing a 21st Amendment for the to the Constitution that would repeal the 18th Amendment. The amendment was submitted to the U.S. to the states, and in December 1933, Utah provided the 36th and final necessary vote for ratification, though a few states continued to prohibit alcohol after prohibition's end and had abandoned the ban by 1966. So that's basically prohibition. Just a ban on alcohol. And it was really bad. And should never do it again. That's basically how it happened. And I don't know if I'm going to be keeping up this podcast. In all honesty, I did this for a school project. If I feel like it, I'll do episodes. I don't know. Whenever I feel like it. This was my first episode, so... If you guys want more, just tell me I want more. Tell me you want more. And I'll do my best, especially having to deal with school. So I'll see you guys later. Talk to you guys later. I don't know. Bye.